Welcome to The Wicket.
Hello and welcome to The Wicket, a cricketing podcast from Arab News. And this is a special episode as we preview the world's biggest domestic 2020 tournament, the Indian Premier League, which gets underway on Friday evening, the 22nd of March, when defending champions the Chennai Super Kings host Royal Challengers Bangalore. It's a tournament that, as last season, features 74 matches, this time across a reported 12 venues, and it's in its 17th season. It captures the attention of the world of cricket like nothing else domestically, as it includes the biggest concentration of the world's short-form talent. This season is especially significant as it comes just a matter of months before the latest edition of the ICC T20 World Cup in the USA and the Caribbean. And so there are a host of players either looking to polish up their skills in this format or catch the attention of their national selectors ahead of that World Cup. I'm Brian Murgatroyd, and with me to discuss what may or may not happen over the next couple of months of action across India, Arab News columnist John Pike and Arab News cricket reporter Subhash Humagain. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian. Hello, John.
Well, the way we're going to do this is to go through each side in turn, starting with last year's finalists, Chennai Super Kings and the Gujarat Titans. So let's start with Chennai. Last season's success, which came about through a thrilling run chase in a Duckworth-Lewis Stern reduced target against the Titans, was Chennai's fifth title, and it meant they joined Mumbai Indians on that mark, making them the two most successful sides in the competition's history. Once again, they'll be captained this season by MS Dhoni, long since retired from international cricket and now not seen on the cricket field at all, apart from at the IPL. They've been in camp in Chennai since the first week of March and have added a couple of Kiwis to their mix this season, with Daryl Mitchell joining for $1.7 million and Rachin Ravindra joining him for $217,000. Chennai have also signed Samir Rizvi, an uncapped batter, for more than $1 million, and someone dubbed a right-handed Suresh Raina, who had a great record for the Chennai Super Kings over many, many years, while bowling all-rounder Shardul Thakur and Bangladesh left-arm seamer Mustafizur Rahman have also signed up. But they'll be without their star batter from 2023, Devon Conway, at least for the first half of the tournament, after the New Zealander injured his thumb in a recent series against Australia. Subhash, the first question has to be, can MS Dhoni defy the ravages of time and a lack of cricket again and spearhead another title push for Chennai? What do you think?
I don't see why not. I think MS Dhoni has been out of international cricket for some years now, but he comes in with IPL looking fit as ever and produces, I think, one player to watch out from start to finish is taking Chennai there, not just with his bat, but leadership behind the stumps at times is left the gloves in recent years, but he still remains the most influential player in India and off the field, on the field. I think he's the figure of IPL even in this day.
John, how big a loss, at least for the first half of the tournament, is Devon Conway? It surely means Rachin Ravindra, fresh from a superb Cricket World Cup in India and also now the youngest ever Richard Hadlee medalist in New Zealand, will have to step up and play a major role, doesn't it?
It does mean that, since Conway might not even be fit for the second half of the IPL. I think CSK have other concerns and injuries on Matisha Pathirana. I think it was yesterday that Mustafizur was stretched off in an ODI against Sri Lanka, though he does seem to have recovered. His absence would be a big blow, given his ability to swing the ball and take crucial wickets. I understand that Shoaib Dubey, who was a revelation last year, is also currently injured. No official update on his fitness. And, you know, MS Dhoni might be forced into a strategy rethink how he navigates a potentially injury-stricken team and what might be a rocky start.
Subhash, do you expect the domestic players of CSK, who did so well last year, I'm thinking of Ravindra Jadeja, Rudiraj Gaikwad, Ajinkya Rahane, Tushar Deshpande to be able to repeat their form this term. Overseas stars are all well and good, of course, but it's a side that has a solid spine of local talent that often is the one that succeeds.
Yes, I think this season is going to be more special for Ruturaj. He's had T20. He's on the frame for Indian team as well. Led the team in Hangzhou Asian Games. Shivam Dubey's injury, as John mentioned, could be a bit of problem. I think they'll need to wait for him because he's in India's framework as well. But they have good bunch of local talents. And I think Ajinkya Rahane is going to be pivotal with Devon Conway sidelined and that top order needing some experience as well. So we might see another side of Rahane, the one he has played with Indian side, and he's going to have more responsibility, and will be exciting to see how he fires opt up.
John, only four overseas players can start any match, and even without Conway, Chennai have Rachin Ravindra, Mitchell Santner, the left-arm spinning all-rounder, ex-England all-rounder Moeen Ali, there's Darryl Mitchell, Mahesh Theekshana, the Sri Lanka mystery spinner, Mustafiza and Mateesha Pattirana, who you've mentioned. Who are the four that you would start?
Well, I think Ravindra has to start, and I suspect the other choices will be determined by venue and fitness. In Chennai, the focus likely be on spin, which favours Moeen, whilst I think Theekshana has to play. That leaves Mustafizur and Pattirana, depending on fitness. Otherwise, Mukesh Chaudhary may get a chance. And this, of course, means no room for Mitchell, who is more likely to play away from Chennai, possibly in place of Moeen. And that, of course, means I'm not sure where Santner actually fits in.
Well, they've certainly got an embarrassment of riches there, providing they're all fit, of course. Chennai have a relatively comfortable start to the tournament with four matches in 15 days, with two home matches to start with, the second of which is a repeat of last season's final against Gujarat Titans, before away fixtures against Delhi Capitals and Sunrisers Hyderabad. Gujarat Titans are in only their third season of existence, but have already become one of the sides of the IPL. They won the first tournament they took part in 2022 and were runners-up last season. For this term, they've lost their talismanic all-rounder Hardik Pandya, who's gone to captain Mumbai Indians, and they'll be without one of their top wicket-takers from last season, Seema Mohammed Shami, who's had surgery in London on an ankle injury. The new captain is Shubman Gill, last season's Orange Cap winner for most runs with 890 runs. That's a fantastic tally. And they've lined up Azmatullah Omarzai, the Afghanistan all-rounder, as Hardik's replacement. Also in is Australia left-arm fast bowler Spencer Johnson, signed for $1.2 million, and Umesh Yadav, the Indian fast bowler, drafted in for $697,000. They welcome back Kane Williamson after his tournament was cut short by a knee injury last season, and also Rashid Khan, the Afghanistan leg spinner, fit again after back surgery and consistently one of the top performers in this format. John, should Gujarat be burdening Shubman Gill with the captaincy at such a young age, and when he did so well without it last season?
Well, he won't lack support from his coaches, Ashish Nehra and Gary Kirsten. They emphasise that others with no captaincy experience, Hardik, for example, Shreyas Iyer, Nitesh Rana, have guided their team's success with little experience. They see it as the next stage of Gill's development. He says he's keen to do it. He's got wise heads around him, such as Williamson. Nevertheless, it is a risk, and I think it's a rather large risk.
Subhash, with no Hardik and no Shami, have the Titans got what it takes to continue their impressive form of the past 2 years, do you think?
It will be very tough, I think, if you look at the team currently. They lack a leader, I think, someone like Sami and Hardik. I think they have not replaced both, just not as a player, but as a leader as well. I think Hardik was key in that both run of Gujarat Titans and Sami. We have seen him playing in the World Cup as well. I think they will be missed not just as a player in the field as well as a leader. And if you see, Shubman Gill has got the captaincy ahead of Kane Williamson, and I think Williamson, the team is honest that he'll not be making the lineup all the time, so they want to be clear with the leader, I think. But Williamson will be part of the leadership group, and I think David Miller will be key in this side, getting everyone stacked up together. So a big miss, but I think they have got the resources in Miller and Shubman Gill.
Well, John, with Rashid Khan, fellow Afghan players Omazai and spinner Noor Ahmed, plus Johnson, Williamson, Matthew Wade, and David Miller, the latter two possibly seen as finishers. Who makes the cut as your four overseas players there in the starting lineup?
Well, Wade, of course, keeps wicket, so they have to decide between him and Saar for that role. Miller probably gets a finishing slot ahead of Wade. I think Williamson's a must, subject to managing his fitness. Johnson's also likely to play, so I'd expect to see some rotation of spinners, subject to local conditions. I think overall, Titans face some uncertainty in their quest to get into the playoffs again, so they're going to have to adapt.
Well, Sebash, one of the more intriguing stories of the IPL auction was the bidding war between CSK and Gujarat for Robin Mintz from Jharkhand, and he eventually went to Gujarat for $434,000. Can you see him making an impact?
Yes and no, because he's going to be, I think he's going to miss start of the season because of a freak bike accident that he had leading to the season. But I think the way you see the Gujarat team, I think they'll need someone to accelerate the innings later on. And with result in mind, I think they'll give chance to Robin, having spent so much on him. But I think he'll need to get his time. And once he gets, I think the hype that has been since the auction is not known by many before the auction. But I think when Chennai goes for some player and going for that big amount, I think he's something special. And he hails from Jharkhand, so I think MS Dhoni might have had some say on him. So excited to see him, but I think he'll be missing the start of the season.
Well, the Titans are the last to start this term at home to Mumbai Indians on the third day of the tournament. Then, after their matchup against CSK, they face Sunrisers and Punjab at home before a trip to face Lucknow. Along with CSK, Mumbai are the most successful side in the tournament's history with five titles, the most recent of which was in 2020. In fact, they won those five titles in a run of 8 years from 2013, but they haven't even reached a final since their last triumph in 2020. Last season, the Mumbai Indians finished fourth in the regular season, beat Lucknow in the eliminator, and then lost to Gujarat in qualifier two. They certainly have star power this season with Hardik Pandya's arrival from Gujarat, not only as an all-rounder, but also as captain, taking over from Rohit Sharma. Rohit moves into the ranks after a modest 2023 tournament with 332 runs then at an average of just over 20. But he's surrounded by some really impressive names, including India fast bowler Jasprit Bumrah, finisher Tim David, and Suryakumar Yadav, who made 605 runs in last year's tournament at a remarkable strike rate of 181.13. They've signed South Africa fast bowler Gerard Coetzee for $602,000 after a mighty impressive Cricket World Cup where he took 20 wickets in 8 matches. But he comes into the tournament having missed the SA20, his own domestic 2020 tournament, through injury. While Dilshan Maruschankar, the Sri Lanka left-armer, tore a hamstring on the recent tour of Bangladesh and has a question mark over his role as a result. Jason Berendorf, he's been ruled out with a broken leg and has been replaced by fellow left-armer Luke Wood of England. John, Bumrah, Hardik, Suryakumar Yadav, Rohit, Ishan Kishan, that makes a pretty potent India spine to the side, doesn't it?
It certainly does, although I think they're waiting a fitness update on Yadav. He was last seen in the third T20 match against South Africa on December the 14th. Hasn't played since. He scored 3,000 runs in his 124 IPL innings. Back at batting is Tim David, as you mentioned, and Brevis, South Africa. You mentioned they've lost Berendorf to injury, replaced by Luke Wood, who's a fairly modest level of performance for England. He may feature, given injury doubts, over Madushanka. And I think there's also an injury question mark against Coetzee.
Yes, they've got some questions to answer there coming into the tournament. But Sebash, do you see Rohit flourishing away from the captaincy? And can Hardik take on that mantle to be in charge of a franchise that's got such a high level of expectation?
If you look at the paper, I think the team is all set to clinch the record sixth title. But the saga going behind the scenes with captaincy, I think we had, as soon as Hardik was announced, I think Surya Kumar Yadav expressed his dissatisfaction over the decision. And while you have someone like Bumrah and Surya Kumar Yadav, who have been constantly with the side for a long time, you bring in Hardik, and I think the dressing room is going to be tough for the start of season. I think Rohit Sharma is a good captain. I think India are going to have him fresh off their World Cup season with no any pressure of captaincy in IPL. But for Mumbai, I think this is not a good sign. Hopefully, the first few games go their way, or else I think if they have a bad start, it's going to be worse.
Well, John, how excited are you to see Coetzee after the way he performed at the Cricket World Cup? He really excited me with his pace.
Well, he's an aggressive handful, if fit, there's no doubt about that. And I would imagine that Mark Bocher is looking to him as an enforcer.
Yes, Boucher, the coach of Mumbai Indians, and Subhash Bumrah, another quick bowler. He's back after his long-term injury issues ruled him out of last season's tournament. Will he be the difference this term, or does their lack of proven spin options, Mohammad Nabi, the Afghan off-spinner aside, threaten their prospects?
Well, I was really surprised to see how Mumbai went off in the auction. They had four fast bowlers overseas, and they still have Bumrah. Maybe with Indian World Cup in mind, I think they'll try to manage the workload with Bumrah. That's why they've got the four seamers. And Bayrondorf, I think, replaced by Luke Wood, is another surprise because they don't have any spin options apart from Nabi. Suresh Gopal, Piyush Chawla, I think, yes, they can do that work. But I think if you need a top spinner, I think that they had an option to replace Bayrondorf with someone else. But Bumrah, I think they, with four overseas bowler, I think they will have workload management this time for Bumrah with World Cup in mind as well.
Well, Luke Wood coming in for Behrendorff. It's very much a fashion these days. Left arm over the wicket, fast bowlers. T20 cricket seems to lend itself to it, or certainly their selection. And I guess in terms of the spin options, Rohit might be whirling his arm around. He bowls some off spin, so it'll be interesting to see if he gets a bowl at some stage during the tournament. Mumbai, will they begin with a tricky match away at Gujarat? Then they travel to the Sunrisers Hyderabad, before two home matches at the Wankhede, which is sure to be packed out against the Rajasthan Royals and Delhi Capitals. Like Gujarat Titans, the Lucknow Super Giants are in the third year of their existence, but unlike the Titans, they're yet to taste sustained success. They finished third in the regular season in 2023, but then lost by 81 runs to Mumbai Indians in the eliminator, placing them fourth in the final standings. They have a new coach, Justin Langer, the former Australia head coach, who's replaced Andy Flower. And he's called in his former West Australia teammate Adam Voges, someone who's enjoyed significant success with the Perth Scorchers in the BBL in Australia, to assist him. Lance Klusener, the ex-South Africa all-rounder, is also in as an assistant coach. They have one of the most exciting signings of the off-season, West Indies fast bowler Shamar Joseph, who took a wicket with his first ball in tests against Australia before bowling his side to victory in Brisbane earlier this year. He replaces Mark Wood, who's been pulled out by the ECB to manage his workload. They've also signed ex-England all-rounder David Willey. Subhash, there were two eye-catching Indian signings by Lucknow in the auction. Shivam Mavi, the 25-year-old bowler and formerly with Gujarat and KKR, and Manimavan Sidheth, a spinner with no international experience but a decent, if limited, domestic record. They cost the franchise over $1 million between them. Will they be worth it?
I think we've seen enough of Mavi to prove that he's worth the sum, but I think that that's a big number to back himself as a lead bowler. I think Shamar Joseph has come in, but he's not proven himself. Navin-ul-Haq, I think we can find better overseas bowler than him for the IPL. I think Shivam Mavi will be the lead bowler for the team. And again, going back to KKR, I think we've seen someone like Varun Chakravarti, who was nowhere around the scene, and come in. I think Maniraman Siddharth could be that kind of player. I think the franchise have had spent big, but you can't expect everyone to fire first season itself. I think they're going to put him in the team, set him up for next season as well. But we may see a glimpse of them in this season, and I think Shubham Mavi is a prospect worth spending on. He's just 25. We've seen his raw pace and his build coming with KKR, and even in the auction, I think he was in demand. So Lucknow might have a good player in Shubham Mavi.
John, what about Shamar Joseph? There'll be a lot of expectation on him after his heroics for the West Indies that saw him burst onto the international scene. Will he be able to cope, do you think?
Well, he's still a bit of an unknown quantity. May all depend, of course, how he gets along with Langer. He seems confident enough, but it's a new environment for him. And I think he is somebody to be excited about. And looking at the context of LSU, only took 14 wickets in power play last year, an average of nearly 54 runs, the worst for any team. So I think Joseph has a clear job to do, or Mavi for that case. I think he'll probably grow into it, would be my feeling.
Yes, they certainly need wickets in the power play. That's no doubt there, as John highlighted, with that rather worrying statistic from their perspective from last season. Subhash, the squad has KL Rahul, Quinton de Kock, Nicholas Pooran. How confident are you they'll be able to score enough runs and quickly enough to be competitive?
Well, I think the top order looks fabulous, but it's the middle order that's going to be scratching their heads. I think the team has not got things together. If you look at the middle order, after Pooran or the particle, it's Krunal Pandya straight away. And you're not sure whether he's a batting or a bowling around. It's a 50-50. You can't trust him with his bat. And then comes Deepak Kuran, Marcus Stoinis, who are along the same line. So I think the top order looks fabulous. If they got a start, Lucknow will be piling big scores. But if a couple of wickets go in the power play, what's the plan? I think they don't have any batter in the middle order. So Kyle Mears could be an option, but I think he doesn't get that overseas quota straight away with a fast bowler needed as well. So top order is never a concern for Lucknow. It's a middle order that they should be thinking about.
Well, you mentioned Kyle Mears there. John, who are your picks to start as overseas players for a side that has de Kock, Pooran, Joseph, Willie, Marcus Stoinis, Mayers, who we've just touched upon, Naveen Ul Haq, the Afghanistan seam and swing bowler, and Ashton Turner, the batting all-rounder from Justin Langer's old patch, Western Australia?
It's a tough call. I think de Kock must play, even though KL Rahul is likely to keep. Maybe not in the first couple of matches. He has to prove his fitness. Pooran is vice-captain, impressed in the IOT 20, so I think he's a likely starter. As Subhash has mentioned, the middle's a bit flaky. I think Stoinis needs to be in there. And I think Joseph needs to play if they're going to get those breakthrough in the power play. I think the rest then get rotated according to conditions.
Yes, that sounds a pretty fair call on your part there, John. Well, another big question, of course, is whether Justin Langer, in his first coaching role since leaving the Australia head coach's position in 2022, can repeat the magic he found at the Perth Scorchers in the Big Bash League. Lucknow start on day three of the tournament against Rajasthan in Jaipur. Then they play Punjab, RCB, that's Royal Challengers Bangalore, and Gujarat. It was a modest 2023 for the Rajasthan Royals, the side that won the inaugural edition of the IPL back in 2008. They've never won the title since and didn't threaten to do so last season. They finished fifth, missing the playoffs by 2 points, not helped by a run of 5 out of 6 lost matches in mid-season. They've lost India fast bowler Prasad Krishna to a quadricep injury that's required surgery, but they've splashed out $892,000 on West Indies powerhouse Rovman Powell for the middle order and another $697,000 on Shubman Dubey, a middle order batter with no senior international experience. John, on paper, they look to have the batting to handle any situation with Joss Butler, Shimron Hetmyer, last season's emerging star turn, Yashasvi Jaiswal, wicketkeeper batter Dhruv Jurel and Powell. Runs, Jaiswal aside, though, were an issue for them last season. Does their lineup this time fill you with confidence in that regard?
Well, they also have Sanju Samson, so it's an impressive array, as long as they, thinking especially about Butler, hit form. They do lack a genuine quality all-rounder. Now Jason Holder's gone.
Yes, there are questions to be answered in that regard, although there would be an argument for saying that with the impact player that exists within the IPL, is an all-rounder as relevant as it used to be. What are your feelings on that, John? Because we saw the super sub used in the ILT 20 as well, didn't we? And that tended to marginalise the all-rounder a little bit.
It did. The makeup of the size is different because of the number of overseas players that you can have in ILT 20. In India, as you said, you're only allowed four overseas players. And some of these IPL squads look a little bit thin in terms of Indian backup batting. So I think it takes on a different perspective in the IPL compared with ILT 20.
Yes, that's a fair point you make. And it's one, of course, that we've been making already on this podcast about the need for a strong Indian spine within all the squads. Subhash, the Royals have the IPL's leading wicket taker of all time, Yuzvendra Chahal, and R. Ashwin, as well as Australia's Adam Zampa. So spin seems well covered there. But do they have the seam bowling strength to mount a challenge, do you think?
Yeah, I think they're well covered. Trent Bolt will be leading the attack. Avis Khan is there. And they have Sandeep Sharma and Kuldeep Sen, who once played for India as well. I think Prasad Krishna is a big miss looking at the Indian side. But they've got Nandir Bergar backing up as well. I think this auction was more about getting the backups rather than strengthening their core they already have. So I think this could be a season where they look balanced all the side. They have backups ready for all the positions. They have Adam Zampa backing up Ashwin and Chahal. I think that you can ask for something more than that. So this could be the season for them.
Well, the Royals begin at Lucknow and then they entertain Punjab before a trip to Bengaluru and another home game against last season's runners-up, Gujarat. Royal Challengers Bangalore are one of the four sides in this year's competition, along with Punjab, Delhi and Lucknow, never to have won the IPL. So can they change that this season? The women have won the Women's Premier League, so I just wonder whether that could be an omen. They've three times been runners-up in 2009, 2011 and 2016, but they were sixth in the regular season last year, losing three of their last five matches to finish 2 points behind fourth place Mumbai. They have Virat Kohli, Faf du Plessis, Glenn Maxwell, Mohammad Siraj, Alzari Joseph, with the West Indies fast bowler coming on board for $1.3 million in the latest auction, plus Australia's Cameron Green, who switched from Mumbai. Subhash, the side, as ever, has star power, but is the Indian spine of the side strong enough to support that stardust?
I still doubt on that, but I think they've got Cameron Green to already dazzling that firepower they have. But I think they missed out on some exciting young talents that they should be looking forward, because if you look at the squad, leaders like Faf du Plessis, Virat Kohli, Glenn Maxwell are all getting towards their end. I think they should have tried for someone like Sam Rizvi or let's say Rob Means, who could have led that batting order. I think they've not got any youngster that could add new spark to the side. So I think the old guards will need to fire up again, and there's no any new faces that look forward. So they are lacking Indian side, but they've got the big names. I think this will be a last time for them to dazzle and get the trophy.
Well, John, Cameron Green, as we've mentioned, he switched from Mumbai. Can he use this tournament to force his way into Australia's 2020 World Cup plans? Because he missed the T20I series against New Zealand and the West Indies earlier this year to concentrate on red ball cricket.
Well, I don't see why not. Creed Australia are giving him a proper chance. I mean, excused him from playing in the Sheffield Shield final. So he's available for the opening match at Chennai. He's got plenty of players around to take the pressure off him. Rajat Patidar is back, and of course, there's the axis of Kohli, Du Plessis and Maxwell. And last year, RCB lost 33 wickets and scored only 9.62 per over in the death overs. So their middle order Indian batsmen managed a solitary 50 score between them. They've taken steps to address that, although they're a bit light on the spin. On the other side, they don't seem to have any reported fitness issues.
Well, they'll certainly be keeping their fingers crossed in that regard. No question about that, because RCB's opener away at CSK, the first match of the tournament, couldn't be tougher. But then they have three home games in a row against Punjab, KKR, that's the Kolkata Knight Riders, and Lucknow, before another away trip to face Rajasthan. The The Kolkata Knight Riders were one of the sides who really did push out the boat at the auction when they paid a record fee for Australia fast bowler Mitchell Starc. They bought him for almost $3 million. They've also had to tickle around their squad in the run-up to this year's event, with Jason Roy for personal reasons and Gus Atkinson for workload reasons dropping out. They've been replaced by Phil Salt and Dushmantha Chamira, respectively. The Knight Riders were a disappointing seventh last season, losing 5 out of 6 matches mid-season and finishing 4 points off the playoffs. Sebash, they've gambled big time with Mitchell Starc, with his first appearance back at the IPL in almost a decade as he tunes up for the T20 World Cup. How do you see that gamble? Is it sensible or is it fraught with risk? It's a massive outlay either way.
I think that's a big risk. If you look at the squad, there's no someone who can partner with Starc reliably from the Indian team. I think they won't risk playing Chamira and Starc at the same time. So I think Chetan Sakaria, who's made that impression with Rajasthan, needs to step up and fire now. They need someone like Umesh Yadav to have been in the squad. But with Starc, I think he's going to be a fight a lone battle in death bowling, especially with Andrew Russell. I think he's been on and off with the ball. With the bat, I think it's still reliable, but I think this was going to be a concern as there's no partner for Starc.
Well, Mitchell Starc, having cost $3 million, you would imagine they'd want to play him more often than not. He's not going to be spending too much time on the sidelines. John, from a batting perspective, I just wonder whether the dropout of Jason Roy could be a blessing in disguise for KKR, given it's allowed them to bring in Phil Salt, who showed what he could do with 200s in the England series against the West Indies last December. He looks an exciting prospect to me.
Yes, I think it is. Roy looked to be losing some of his spark, both with the bat and in the field. And of course, Salt can also keep wicket.
Yes, he looks a very astute signing, Phil Salt. We'll keep an eye on him. You can be sure of that. Sebash, what about the prospect of Andre Russell and Sherfane Rutherford in the middle order? That's an exciting one, isn't it?
Exciting one, but I doubt KKR will go with both of them at the same time because you'll need to have Sunil Narine and Mitchell Starc in the bowling attack. And Gurbaz up top has been fabulous. Even with Afghanistan, we've seen him firing away and getting that quick runs in the power play. So I think getting them both will hamper the balance of side as well. So you need to either drop Gurbaz or Sunil Narine. I think that's not even a question. So to get Rutherford into the middle with Russell, it's going to be a tough stuff. So getting the balance right, I think we will need to see how team progresses forward and these overseas players play, and only then we'll see how it goes.
Yes, John, that's a good point, isn't it? Because on paper, they look like a team of all or most of the talents. There's Shreyas Iyer, Raminulla Gurbaz, who Sebash has just mentioned, Rutherford, Salt, Russell, Mujeeba Rahman, Starc, Sunil Narine, to name just a few. Is the key to their success, I wonder, going to be how coach Chandrakant Pandit and Iyer, the captain, get these disparate players to gel and gel quickly?
Well, that's one aspect. It's not helped by fitness issues with Iyer. But another is that KKR won only 2 matches at home last year. The Eden Gardens pitches have changed drastically over the years from a slow-turning wicket. It now contains plenty of runs, which I think led to the franchise complaining about a lack of home advantage. There are reports, though, that the tracks could be slower this season, which will work to KKR's advantage. But the proof will be in the pudding.
Yes, it certainly will be. Well, KKR get underway with a home match against the Sunrisers before trips to face RCB, Royal Challengers Bangalore in Bengaluru, and Delhi in Vizag. The closest Punjab Kings have come to success was as runners-up back in 2014. Last season, they were a distant 8th with only 6 wins from 14 matches and are helmed by ex-England coach Trevor Bayliss and captain Shikhar Dhawan, both in their second seasons in the roles. They paid an eye-watering $1.4 million for Harshal Patel after the seamer was released by RCB, while signing South Africa's Riley Russo for $937,000 and Chris Wokes for $506,000. That was more expensive work from their perspective. And that, of course, followed on from the run-up to the 2023 season when they landed England all-rounder Sam Curran for a then-record $2.3 million. John, one of Punjab's big issues last season in 2023 was a lack of runs, with no single player topping 400 for the tournament. Can you see that changing this season?
They've had issues for most of their existence, I think, being eliminated in the league stage 14 times and had to regularly grapple with instability, changing management, captains and players. On paper, their batting looks okay, led by Dhawan. They've got Jitesh Sharma and Parasimran Singh, promising talent. There's going to be heavy reliance upon Russo, and we have no idea what to expect from Bairstow or Livingston. The all-round section's good. Spins not so. I think in answer to your question, I think we can expect a slight improvement in the batting.
Subhash, they have some eye-catching players like Kagiso Rabada, Australia fast bowler Nathan Ellis, who returns after taking 13 wickets in 2023. There's Johnny Bairstow and Liam Livingston, the England duo who John's just mentioned there. Plus, last season's top wicket taker for them, Arshdeep Singh. Is it a mix that can improve on last term's disappointments, or do they still look a little bit light, do you think?
If you look at the pace bowling department, I think they are better prepared. They've got Harshad Patel. I think the last season they have their huge problem with death overs. I think they went over 10 runs per over in almost all the matches. So Harshad Patel is going to be useful. But if you look at the spin side, I think they lack depth. I think you still can't expect Rahul Sayre to be your top spinner and get wickets. You'll have to play Sikandar Raza to accommodate the off spin department, and then you'll be having a problem with foreign players as well. So I'm waiting to see who's going to take the role of that spin all rounder or spinner for Punjab at this season, because pace bowling department you have backups. I think two or three players you can name, but if you look at the spin side, I think they're going to struggle on that side.
Well, Punjab will play in their new Mullapur Stadium for this tournament and begin there against Delhi before away trips to RCB and Lucknow over the first 2 weeks of the tournament. Another of the sides never to have lifted the IPL title. Last season was a forgettable experience for Delhi Capitals as they finished ninth. Their campaign simply never got started as they lost their first five matches. They have one of the stories of the tournament, though, with the return of Rishabh Pant following his near-fatal car accident 15 months ago. He's back as captain while they signed Kumar Kushagra, a 19-year-old wicketkeeper batter from Jharkhand, for $867,500. They've lost Harry Brook, the England batter dropping out to stay home after a family bereavement, and they've invested over $600,000 in Australia fast bowler Jay Richardson, who's been injury plagued over the last few years. John, there are a lot of question marks over Delhi. They have exciting players on paper like Richardson and also Anrich Nawkhia, as well as David Warner and Mitchell Marsh, but Richardson and Nawkhia need to show they can stay fit. Do you have confidence in their ability to do so?
A bit more so in Nawkhia than Richardson, although Nawkhia is going to perhaps have the thoughts of his newly born child over the period of the IPL. I think overall the balance of the team is better with Pant coming back in. It's likely to be eased back, I think, so no keeping in the early matches. Squad's got quite a lot of options. They were very low on scoring sixes last year, only 67, and a record 1,124 were hit. They should be bettered this year with Pant and Tristan Stubbs and Mitch Marsh, of course, whilst I think they've recently added Fraser McGurk. I think the question mark is over the quick bowlers.
Yes, very much so. And you need durable fast bowlers over a tournament of the length of the IPL. Subhash, there'll be a lot of expectation on Kushagra after his hefty price tag. What are your expectations for him?
Well, first off, I think it's going to be tough for him to get some playing time. It would come down to how they shuffle around with Tristan Stubbs. I think Pant, I think he's not going to keep right away. Tristan Stubbs is going to be the one. He'll be in the side, but if he doesn't fire and they need to bring someone to balance the foreign player side, I think Kusagra could be get a go. Still, I think the price tags, I think it's about supply and demand in the auction list. And I think we saw Robin Mintz going, we saw Kusagra going. I think wicketkeeper batters were in demand this time and multiple teams had players on their list. That's why the tag was higher. But the tag doesn't mean that the player will get chances straight away.
Well, Delhi begin away at Punjab and Rajasthan before facing CSK, KKR and Mumbai. The KKR match is going to be played in Vizag. It was all changed this off-season for the Sunrisers Hyderabad after collecting the wooden spoon in 2023 following four wins in 14 matches. They've splashed out almost $2.5 million on the leadership and fast bowling ability of Australia captain Pat Cummins, who takes charge instead of Aidan Markram. They've also made eye-catching purchases of Australia Cricket World Cup hero Travis Head for more than $800,000, Sri Lanka T20I captain Manindu Hasaranga, and Indian seamer Jaydev Unnikat. Hasaranga, though, has opted out of the first three matches of the season after deciding to come out of test retirement to play in a two-match series in Bangladesh. John, Pat Cummins, he's actually got precious little T20 captaincy experience and a hefty price tag to go with it. That's a lot of weight on his shoulders before a ball's bowled, isn't it? Especially in a side that was so poor last season.
It's a very heavy weight, given a poor performance in the last 3 years. All eyes will be on him. It's a very, very big ask. And one of the issues is that no side bowled fewer overs of spin as Sunrisers in 2022 and 2023. And when they did, the metrics were very poor. Hasaranga brought in to address that, as you say. He's not there for the first three matches. And they have Washington Sundar, if he's fit, whilst Head, I guess, can twist to his arm if necessary. But that's a real weakness.
Yes, Subhash, having an overseas captain means extra pressure on overseas slots, of course, because it means Cummins is basically going to be playing every match. And so that limits them to just three players to rotate around. Sunrisers have Heinrich Klassen, who was devastating with the bat last season and also devastating during the Cricket World Cup, plus his fellow Protea, Marco Janssen, and his Head, who John's just mentioned, Hasaranga, who we've touched upon, Faisal Haq Farooqi of Afghanistan, Markram, and Glenn Phillips of New Zealand. Are they overloaded in foreign stars, do you think?
Without a doubt, Brian, I think they're overloaded and some of these players who are going to warm the bench will walk into any other side in this IPL. I think it's going to be a tough stuff for Daniel Vittori and Pat Cummins to balance out things. It's good in a way that one Indu Hasaranga is not going to be the start of the season because they'll get to know who's going to start. They need to have Heinrich Klassen skipping the wickets as well. And then you can't leave out Hasaranga when he comes in because we've seen him doing things. So Travis Head is out of touch at the moment. He'll have to prove himself in the squad. But it's going to be tough on either Markram or Phillips to sit out. Last season he was leading the team and this time he's sadly going to miss out.
Well, John, Subhash mentioned Travis Head there. He's had a very modest start to 2024 with Australia, in complete contrast to his stellar 2023 when he came close to 1,000 test runs in the calendar year and was outstanding in the Cricket World Cup semi-final and final. Should he have opted, do you think, for a rest ahead of the T20 World Cup, or is he right to play to try and regain some form?
This is one of those cases where you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. I'm sure discussions will have been held with Cricket Australia. It looks as if the decision is to try to get him to regain form. If he doesn't, then the selectors will have clarity.
Yes, it'll be, as you say, clear one way or the other what should happen after the end of 2 months of the IPL. The Sunrisers start in Kolkata against the Knight Riders. They host Mumbai and then they have two away fixtures against Gujarat and CSK, the two finalists from last season. So it's no easy baptism for Pat Cummins, that's for sure. So that's our look at all the teams in action in this year's IPL. Now, though, it's prediction time. as we decide who might win the competition. John, first of all, who do you think will win it and why?
Well, with all the changes this year, it's really too tough to call. So many players and coaches have to settle in, plus there's much uncertainty over the fitness of key players. It's an awful lot that's going to have to unravel. I'm going to play chicken and suggest the top four, which is CSK, although I think they're entering a period of transition. Everybody's thinking the Mumbai Indians will be close, although Subhash has tendered a warning shot across the bows, whether there's a happy camp or not. I'm going to go for the improvement in the RCB and the Lucknow Super Giants, which is a bit harsh on the Gujarat Titans.
Subhash, what do you reckon?
Well, I'm a bit sad that John has not got my potential winners on the list. I'm going with Rajasthan. Oh. Just because I think well-settled side, they had good bunch of key players last season. They've retained every one of them and they've got backups for all those players. I think Ashwin is going to be key this season as well. Sanju Samson is leading. Butler and Jaiswal are going to be fantastic up top, and Trent Bolt is going to lead that bowling attack. So I think they're well-settled, well-managed team, and I think this will be a season after that 16 years long wait.
Well, that's a bold prediction from you, Subhash. In terms of myself, well, I like the look of Mumbai, especially with their strong Indian spine, although I take on board what you said, Subhash, about some dressing room politics and potentially the need for a little bit more spin from somewhere. Lucknow looks a useful outfit as well, I think. I've always been a fan of Justin Langer as a coach, and I think he'll get a tune out of them. Surely Delhi can't be as poor as they were last season. Ricky Ponting will fire them up, and they've got that great story with Rishabh Pant back to lead them. And then, of course, on top of that, you've got CSK, who seem perennially to be in the winner's circle, if not winning the tournament itself. So they're going to be my top four. But what about players to look out for this season? John, first of all, what do you reckon?
Well, all eyes are going to be on Kohli, you know, whose T20 World Cup is rumoured to be in jeopardy. Cummins for the huge task he's got, Sunrisers, and Stark for his price tag. But moving to the other end, and look at the young Indian debutants. I think we have to look out for Kumar Kushagra, for reasons we mentioned earlier, Samir Rizvi with CSK, Shuman Dubey with the Rajasthan Royals, Arshin Kulkarni with Lucknow, and Swastik Shikara with Delhi Capitals. They've all got supreme talent, and they're getting a stage on which to potentially showcase it this year.
And what about you, Subhash? Who are you looking forward to seeing?
I'm excited to see how Jaiswal carries his from international stage to IPL now. It was the sole man of Rajasthan Royals last season, and he's just replicated that in the international arena. So now it's time for him to show what the real deal he is. And on the other side, I think KKR, Chetan Sakaria, he made his name with Rajasthan, has gone to KKR. He's going to get that game time he needs. He's going to be playing with Mitchell Starc. So I think he excites me as a player and the hardship he's gone through. So I think these two players are going to be one to watch.
I'm going to keep my eye out for three players in particular, all of them high profile and all of them having different reasons to excel. Rachin Ravindra, who's come into this tournament off the back of a wonderful 6 months or so. He really has been outstanding. Starting at the Cricket World Cup, he was absolutely brilliant. So it's going to be interesting to see how he slots in at CSK. Travis Head, who we've mentioned at Sunrisers Hyderabad, he's had a very difficult start to 2024. So I'm going to be fascinated to see whether he can find his form once more. And the other big name to look out for, I think, to see how he can pull things together in Mumbai is Hardik Pandya. He can be such an inspirational figure that if he can produce with bat and ball, he could very easily drag Mumbai along with him to a famous title. It's going to be fascinating to see all three of those, and there are plenty of others who we can look out for as well. So that's our thoughts here at The Wicket. Let us know your thoughts in comments wherever you get your podcasts, and rest assured we'll be across the IPL throughout its course with regular episodes of The Wicket. Thanks so much for joining us. And on behalf of myself, Brian Murgatroyd, John Pike and Subhash Humagain, we hope you've enjoyed our little chat about the IPL, and we look forward to your company next time we are at The Wicket.